Amen. So we're here today and it's Pentecost, which is the church's birthday, so they say. It's a good way to classify it, I guess, or name it. But I kind of think of it as our Independence Day, because it's at that point that man was freed from the authority of the devil. God gave back or gave us eternal life and Holy Spirit. And I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there's a verse here I think is really amazing. It is, it kind of encapsulates what the whole Word of God is all about. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 13. It says, and the word but should be now. Now we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And you know, God is, well, you can turn to Isaiah 45. God has always there for man. From the very beginning, from Genesis on, he was there to help man, to save man, to prosper man, to help man. And his plan from the beginning, from the time that Adam sinned, was what? To send a Messiah. And that Messiah brought about the ability for us to conquer death. It says in Hebrews, the great fear of man is death. Well, we have eternal life when we're born again. When we speak in tongues, we have proof that we have eternal life. So in Isaiah 45, in verse 18, it says, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. So the Lord, Jehovah, who created the heavens. That's our God and our Father. That's kind of a nice thing to know, isn't it? God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. So in the very beginning, God created the earth. He formed it and the heavens, it says. So he created it not in vain, meaning not empty, not without purpose. And we know from Genesis 1, 1 and 2 that God created the earth perfectly and then there was a cataclysmic occurrence, right? Things were lost. It says he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. There's no other God. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And we know that about God. He's an honest God. He's a true God. He's a just or righteous God. And he doesn't speak things in secret. In other words, he wants us to know and he lets us know what he expects and what he will do. That's a good thing too, isn't it? You know what God says is right and you know what he says is wrong. You know what he blesses and what he doesn't bless. You know how to get born again. It's very simple. And everything that God wants for us and wants us to do, he lets us know, and it's pretty clear and simple. Not like the government or, you know, philosophers or theologians or, you know. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. And, you know, this is written to Israel and they escaped or they were called out from among those nations that worship false gods, right? But we escape from the world that worships false gods too when we learn the truth about God and get born again. And the world is full of false gods. Tell ye, bring them near ye, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. God is a Savior. It's kind of cool. Last week in our Sunday fellowship, I taught on God our Savior. And it was kind of interesting. I looked up the word Savior in the New Testament. And you would think that Savior would be all over the place in the New Testament, wouldn't you? But it only occurs not a lot. And it speaks of Jesus Christ or Christ our Savior 15 times in the New Testament. Only twice in the church epistles. And 9 times in the New Testament, it mentions God our Savior. Because God is the ultimate Savior. He's the one that sent Jesus Christ, which we heard in manifestations today. Right? He sent Jesus Christ to be our personal Savior. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. So God's a Savior, and salvation is the wholeness that He makes available, the deliverance that He makes available to each and every one of us. And Pentecost is a celebration of that deliverance and wholeness that He has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, by sanctification of His Holy Spirit, right? When we get Holy Spirit, we are sanctified. We are made holy. In chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." You know, that was God's original desire for man, right? To have dominion and authority over everything on the earth, the whole earth. And you know, ever think about this? He put him in a garden to work and keep it. It wasn't God's desire to have a wilderness. You know, people think, oh, the wilderness, it's so cool. But God's desire was for man to tame the wilderness. You know, before Israel went into the promised land, one of the things He did was He didn't let them conquer it all at once, or He didn't just wipe out the people that were there, because He said then the thorns would grow up and the wild animals would come back. He wanted a place where they could live and be together and survive and prosper. So He made man in His image. And what's the image of God? Spirit. It says in John 4:24 that God is spirit. There's another verse in Isaiah, I think, or Jeremiah, where it says, God has no form or comeliness, right? He's a spirit. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him, male and female. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He formed him. What form do we have? Flesh, right? We have a form. Statues have a form, don't they? But they don't breathe. They don't speak. They don't move. They're inanimate. Houses have forms. Lots of things have forms. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He breathed into him the breath of life. That's what He did. It says we were created in God's image. We have spirit. And then it says that He made us a living soul. So man God's desire for man originally was to be a man of body, soul, and spirit. Man being men and women, all-inclusive noun. We were supposed to be people with body, soul, and spirit. And what happened? Adam sinned, and he lost spirit, right? God said, the day that thou eat of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Yet Adam lived another, who knows how many years, he lived to be 900 and something years old. So how did he die? He died spiritually. And God set about to save man. It says that he is the Savior. And the way he saved man was he had the plan to send his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Verse 7. It says, even everyone that is, verse 7, 43, 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, for my glory I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That's what God did originally. He made, formed, and created man. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. What does it say there? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. That's God's desire for every man and woman. Now, it says in Timothy that God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. But are all men saved? No. So all men are not born again of God's Spirit. Not all men have spirit. You have to be born again of God's Spirit to be a spiritual person. You know, there are lots of people that are religious. God bless them. But that doesn't make them godly or spiritual, does it? You know, I'd rather be a godly man than a religious man. I'd rather be a spiritual man than a religious man. And we get to that place in life, we get born again, we get the Spirit, but then we have to learn how to use that Spirit. We have to listen to that spiritual connection with God. We have to learn God's Word and put it into our brains and think it and live it. You know, in John 3, Nicodemus came by night to visit Jesus Christ. Let's go there. John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the Pharisees, one thing they were, if they were nothing else, they were religious. They were as religious as you could possibly get, but they weren't very godly, nor were they spiritual, because spirit wasn't available yet. And unless you were a prophet or a man called of God and had spirit upon you, you really didn't have that opportunity, did you? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Wow. So this Nicodemus guy was pretty great because he recognized that Jesus Christ was a special person and that God was with him. Most of the Pharisees did not believe that, did they? Or they were jealous of him and they wanted to get rid of him. Jesus answered and said unto him. So, you know, this guy says one thing to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ kind of just says, unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this guy came up and he says, you know, we know you're from God and you do these miracles. And Jesus Christ says, if you're not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? That would be a difficult thing to do. I would say impossible. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here, this tells us what born again means. It means born of the Spirit, right? The words born again really mean born from above. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, referring to God, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and knoweth thou, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He said, you're supposed to know about this. You study the Old Testament scriptures, you know the law inside and out, and you don't know that God has promised spirit to mankind. That was man's desire, or God's desire for man. He was amazed that Nicodemus didn't understand this. See? And that's what God's whole plan was for man from the very beginning, to have body, soul, and spirit, so that he could have a relationship with us, so that he could speak to us, and we could speak to him, that we could hear him when he gives us direction and helps us and shows us what to do. What a great thing that God did. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So, why did I say it's like Independence Day? Because we have independence from the authority of the devil. We no longer are bound by just living by the five senses. We now have access to the eternal God and to his throne and to the promises of God. And it says that we have been made free in Christ Jesus. We're free from the curse of death. We're free from the curse of the law. We've been made free. When we got that Holy Spirit, we were made free. When those guys spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, that was the first instance of total freedom for mankind. What a great thing, huh? We have that. We should never forget it, and we should treasure that gift and use that gift. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of the verse doesn't belong there. But what does that mean? The word condemnation means condemned to death. Before you're born again, you're condemned to death. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, I believe, or 20, I can't remember, where the great white throne judgment is, it talks about how if people are not written in the book of life, they die the second death. So they get raised for a little time just to get judged. What a disappointment. You die, then all of a sudden you don't believe in God, and then you get raised from the dead, and you have to stand in line, and then he's, well, you're not here. See ya. And then they die again. Us, on the other hand, when the trumpet sounds and we hear the voice of the archangel, what happens to us? We get gathered. We get a new body. And we're ever with the Lord. How cool is that? What a juxtaposition. What a cool word. You know, how opposite could those two things be? You know, what's the opposite of eternal life? Eternal death. What a choice. How dopey could people be not to choose life? What a great thing. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what?
Free.
Free from the law of sin and death. You know, okay, if Christ doesn't come back, we may fall asleep. But why does God say it's falling asleep? Because it's temporary. You're going to get back up. You're going to close your eyes. You've all closed your eyes, right? Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now open them. That's it. That's what's going to happen. That's how fast it's going to seem. We're free from the law of sin and death. We've been made free. We've been given liberty. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own sin in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What a cool thing. God's our Savior. His desire is always to save, to always deliver. The last use of the word Savior is in the book of Jude. Go to Jude. It's the last book before Revelation. Verse 25, the last verse. It says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And that's what I say. Power and glory and majesty to God our Savior forever. Amen. So God bless. Let's have a great fellowship together and let's treasure that gift that God has given us and realize that God has set us free, that we have eternal life, and it all happened because of the day of Pentecost and what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.